Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Go Eat Worms by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The theme song, which I always forget to mention, is composed by Dusty, who I think just graduated college, so congratulations. Once again, at the beginning of part one of every book, I feel like it's necessary to explain that this is for adults. I don't have it marked as such on iTunes because I'm not good at doing things, but it's for adults. If you're not an adult, turn it off. I'm going to use inappropriate words. I'm going to teach you how to make rudimentary amphetamines out of things around the house. It's no good. I'm going to go on diatribes about shitty 90s TV shows. I'm currently drinking a rum and Diet Dr. Pepper and dressed like Julian from Trailer Park Boys for some reason. Anyway, as I'm colorblind, I can't tell if it's blue or purple, but the cover is like yellow legal pad paper, or maybe it's normal paper that's just damaged with age. And there's some math equations on there, rudimentary shit. And then there's either blue or purple worms coming out of the book, and the tagline on there is, "Homework was never this gross before." Good stuff. All right, I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps, Part 1, Go Eat Worms, R.L. Stein.
Chapter 1.
Before the worms turned mean, before they slithered out to get their revenge, Todd Barstow had a great time with them. Todd collected worms. For the pussy. He built a worm farm in his basement. He studied them. He played with them. He did experiments with them. Sometimes he carried them around with him. Sometimes he scared people with them. Especially his sister, Regina. I will pronounce Regina however I damn well please, motherfuckers. With his sister, Regina! He liked to dangle the long purple ones in front of Regina's face. Sometimes he dropped them down her back or into her long brown hair. He liked to torture Regina's best friend, too. Her name was Beth Baker, and she always screamed a high, squeaky scream whenever Todd surprised her with a big, slimy worm. Penis joke.
"You're totally gross, Todd,"
Beth would squeal. This always made Todd very happy. Todd's best friend, Danny Felcher. It said Fletcher, but I said Felcher. Oh my god, I am just so good with names right now. Fuck, I need to turn a light on. Fuck, there is no light in here. Alright, hold up. It's called professionalism, assholes. Damn it, I turned on one light. Ooh, I know what I can do. Yeah, lesser podcasts would edit this out, but not Dune Reads Goosebumps. Todd's best friend, Danny Felcher, didn't really understand why Todd was so interested in worms, but Danny did understand how much fun it was to surprise people and make them scream. So he spent a lot of time with Todd. In fact, the two of them were almost always together. They even sat together in Miss Grant's class, where they whispered a lot, planning what to do next with Todd's worms. Todd didn't look at all mischievous. In fact, he usually had a very serious expression on his face. He had dark brown eyes under short, wavy brown hair. No one ever saw his hair. It was always covered by the black and silver Raiders cap he wore day and night like his favorite rap group, NWA. He was tall and skinny. His mother said he was as skinny as a worm. Todd never thought that was funny. He took worms seriously. Danny looked more like a joker. He had a round, chubby face under curly red hair and a really goofy grin. Is it just me, or is the amount of people that are gingers and homosexuals just like through the roof. I feel like everyone I know who's a ginger is gay, but everyone I know who's gay is to, if then if some of them are do red hair guys, let's just go back. Science is too confusing. His round blue eyes always lit up when Todd was about to spring a big wet worm on an unsuspecting victim. Whenever Todd succeeded in making someone scream in surprise, Danny would toss back his head, let out a high-pitched cheer, and slap Todd hard in the back with his chubby, freckled hand. Then the two of them would screech with laughter, roll around on the floor, and enjoy their victory. They had a great time with worms. But whenever anyone asked Todd why he collected them and why he was so interested in them, Todd's expression turned serious, and he'd say, "Because I want to be a scientist when I grow up, asshole." "How many worms do you have?" someone asked. "Not enough," he replied. He was always digging up more, looking for champions. He liked them long and purple and kind of fat and squishy. Squishy was very important. Sunday night, it had rained. The ground was still wet as Todd and Regina walked to school on Monday morning. Todd knew the worms would all be coming up for air. He found Danny at the water fountain outside of their classroom. Danny had a finger pressed over the fountain spout, and when kids passed by, he made the water squirt all over them. "Hey, kids, listening to this, even though you shouldn't be listening to this because I just told you fucking not to listen to it? If you're at school, just get a water bottle and get a pin and poke a hole in the top, and then you have a rudimentary..." Wow, I've said rudimentary like four times. Must be really into rudimentary peni. Just kidding, I like my parents. Anyway, if you poke a hole in a water bottle, it's just a squirt gun. You can just squeeze it and it shoots water, and you're like, ah, you got water on you, it's good times. That's it. Simple, you know? That's all. Alright, sorry. Todd lowered his Raiders cap over his forehead as he leaned close to Danny. "Meet me behind the second base on the playground," he whispered, "as soon as the lunch bell rings." Danny nodded. He didn't have to ask why. He knew that that's Todd's favorite place to dig up fresh worms. The ground there was soft and rich. After a good rain, the two boys could shovel up 10 to 15 worms without even trying. Todd kept a gardening shovel in his locker, as well as a small metal blanket with a lid, and a lock of the sexy girl's hair that he would often masturbate into. He was always ready to collect worms when the time was right. In the class that morning, everyone was talking about the big science expo to be held in the gym on Saturday. Some kids already had their projects done. Debbie Brewster was bragging about how she was going to win the new computer, the grand prize, by making electricity. Someone shouted out, "Go fly a kite!" and everyone laughed. The whole class was tired of Debbie's constant bullshit. Todd's project was just about finished. It had worms in it, of course. It was a worm house, a little house Todd's father had helped him build, about the size of a dollhouse. One side was cut away and covered with a pane of glass so you could see in. The house was filled with dirt, and you could see all of the worms, a whole worm family, crawling from room to room. Danny's project was really boring. He was building the solar system out of balloons. Oh, no! He wanted to share Todd's project and work on it with him, but Todd wouldn't have that shit. "I don't want to share the computer," Todd had said. "But I helped you dig up the worms, goddammit!" Danny protested. "Eh, dig up most of them," Todd replied. And so Todd forced Danny to do his own project. Danny blew up different colored balloons for all the planets and taped them on a big black sheet of oak tag. The fuck's oak tag? Very boring. "What makes you think you're so sure you're going to win the prize?" Danny asked Todd as he hurried to catch up with him on the playground at lunchtime. "I checked out the other projects," Todd replied. "My project is the only one with a real, living creature, except for Heather's snails." "Heather has done a lot of experiments with her snails," Danny commented. "So what?" Todd snapped, like Anti-Nowhere League. "Snails are for babies. We had snails in first grade, but no one cares about snails in sixth grade. No way they can compete with worms." "I guess you're right," Danny replied, scratching his red hair. They squatted down as they reached the bare spot behind second base. Todd handed Danny his spare shovel. The playground was empty. Everyone was eating lunch inside. The ground was still soft and wet. Worms were poking their heads up from the little puddles. One long worm crawled out of the dirt. The rain makes them all come up, said Todd, beginning to dig. This is excellent! He didn't know what kind of trouble was waiting under the ground.
Chapter 2.
Look out! You cut that one in two, Todd warned. Danny grinned. So what? Now you've got two little ones. But I only like the big ones, Todd replied, carefully sliding his shovel under a long, fat worm. How many more do you need? My stomach is growling, Danny complained, glancing back at the long, red brick school building. Just a few more, Todd said, lowering the fat worm into the bucket. He's a squirmer, isn't he? Danny groaned. Everyone else is eating lunch, and I'm out here digging in the mud. It's for science, Todd said, exactly as Dune would reply. This one is a lot as big as a snake. Did you ever think about collecting snakes? Danny asked. No, Todd replied quickly, digging into the mud. No fucking way, Danny. Why not? Because I like worms, asshole, Todd said. What's the real reason? Danny demanded. My parents won't let me, Todd muttered. The two boys continued to dig for another few minutes until the ground started to rumble. Danny dropped his shovel. What's that? He asked. Huh? Todd didn't seem to notice. The ground rumbled a little harder. This time everything shook. Todd pitched forward, dropping onto his hands and knees. He gazed up at Danny, surprised. Hey, don't push me! I didn't, Danny protested. Then what? Todd started, but the ground shook again and the dirt made a soft cracking sound.
I don't like this, Danny stammered.
Without another word, both boys started to run, but the ground trembled again and the cracking sound beneath their sneakers grew louder. Closer.
Earthquake! Todd screamed. Earthquake! Oh. Chapter 3!
Todd and Danny sprinted across the field, and the playground burst into the lunchroom. Across the field, and then they went to the playground, and then they're in the lunchroom. Both boys had red faces. Both of them were breathing hard. Earthquake! Todd shouted. It's an earthquake! Chairs scraped. Conversation stopped. Everyone turned to stare at the two of them. Duck under the tables! Danny screamed. Quick, everyone! The ground is shaking! Earthquake! Earthquake! Everyone just laughed. No one moved. No one wanted to fall for a dumb practical joke. Todd spotted Beth and Regina across the lunchroom at the window. He and Danny darted over to them.
Get away from the window! Todd warned. The ground is cracking apart! Danny cried.
Is this the first one's not from a first-person perspective? Seems like every one of them is. This one's the first third-person. You know, it's interesting. That's all.
Regina's mouth opened. She didn't know whether to believe them or not. Regina, the warrior, was always ready to believe a disaster waiting just around the corner. But all the other kids in the huge lunchroom were laughing their heads off. We don't get earthquakes in Ohio, Beth said simply, making a disgusted face at Todd.
Yeah, but you live in Ohio. It's fucking flat and boring. It's fucking Ohio.
Quit bragging about Ohio, Beth. No one wants to live in Ohio, Beth.
Yeah, we got earthquakes in California, but we're in California and it's not fucking Ohio, Beth.
But,
Todd sputtered, as well as every listener in Ohio. Didn't you hear me? Todd cried.
I was so freaked, I dropped all my worms.
He sank into the chair next to his sister. No one believes you. It's just a dumb joke, Todd, Regina told them. Better luck next time, guys.
But,
Regina turned away from her spouting brother and started talking to Beth again. As I was saying, his head is way too big for his body.
He looks okay to me, Beth replied.
No. Well, we'll have to cut his head off, Regina insisted, frowning into her bowl of noodle soup.
Major surgery, Beth asked.
Are you sure? If we cut his head off, it'll show. It really will.
But if his head is too big, what choice do we have? Regina whined.
Wine and Regina, you know, Waltz and Matilda.
Huh? What are you talking about? Todd demanded. What about the earthquake?
Todd, we're talking about our science fair project, Beth said impatiently. Yeah, go out and play in the earthquake, Regina snapped. We've got problems with Christopher Robin. Todd snickered. What a dumb name for a bird. Regina stuck her tongue out at him, and then turned back to her project. She and Beth began discussing their project again. They both agreed they probably should have tried something a little easier, and smaller. They were building an enormous robin out of paper mache. It was supposed to be lifelike in every detail, except size. Both the girls quickly discovered that their paper mache isn't the most lifelike material around. Oh no! It was hard to get the wings to stick to the body. It was even harder to get the huge round body to stand on the spindly wooden legs. And now Regina was convinced that the bird's head was much too big for its body. They had used an entire quart of orange paint on the bird's chest. Now, if they had to cut the head off and make a new one, the paint job would be ruined. Oh no! Maybe we could just shave a little off the top, Beth suggested, taking the last potato chip from her bag and crinkling the bag between her hands. Can I have some of your soup? You can finish it, Regina replied, sliding the bowl across the table. I'm not very hungry. There's going to be an aftershock, Todd warned, staring out the window. Yeah, there's always an aftershock after an earthquake, Danny agreed. I can't believe you're sitting here calmly talking about your dumb project, Todd said. It's not a dumb project, Beth replied, all angry and shit. Todd, go eat worms! Like the title of the book, everyone. The title of the book is Go Eat Worms! Exclamation point. And then right here, Regina says, Todd, go eat worms, like the title of the book. Like, she's saying the title of the book inside of the book, but she doesn't know she's in the book, because she's a character in a book. But the title of the book's Go Eat Worms, and she said to go eat worms. Regina exclaimed. It was her favorite thing to say to her brother. She said it at least 10 times a day. Oh, I guess that doesn't make this one special. Beth is already eating worms, Todd said, gazing down at the bowl of soup. Danny laughed. Give me a break, Todd, Beth muttered, rolling her eyes. No, really, Todd insisted. What kind of soup is that? Chicken noodle, Beth replied warily. She took a spoonful, slurping the soup off the spoon. Well, there's a worm in your soup, Todd said with a serious face. Todd, you're not funny or attractive. Go get a tan and dye your hair and wear some concealer over those freckles and be a normal person, Todd. Give it up. Want to bet? Todd challenged. Bet? What do you mean, bet? Beth said. I bet you $1 there's a worm in your soup, Todd told her, his dark eyes lighting up. Danny leaned across the table, a wide grin frozen on his chubby face. Yum, he said, licking his lips. A big, fat, purple one. Can I have a taste? Oh, damn it, Danny's the kid that made that joke relevant. Now it's Todd that doesn't make... What are you doing, bud? Franklin, what are you doing? Franklin, hold up.
Hey-o, sorry. My dog, Franklin, was looking a little bummed out. The ex-girlfriend moved out of here, and she was back here getting stuff yesterday. And he got to see his mommy, and now he's all bummed out and stressed. So, pet drama, am I right? I feel like Marc Maron, you know? Not the pet stuff, just the rambling about inane bullshit that no one gives a fuck about in my personal life. Hey-o! Just kidding, it was a lovely interview with Jack White today. I was just... You know, pot shots. Anyway,
you guys are jerks, Regina muttered.
Bet $1, Todd challenged, ignoring his sister.
Sure, it's a bet, Beth said. She reached across the table and shook Todd's hand to seal the bet. Then she ran the soup spoon through the bowl several times to show him there was no worm. Todd reached under the table, then a smile crossed his face as he brought his hand up and dropped a fat purple worm into Beth's soup. The worm wriggled and squirmed as it hit the hot soup. Oh, gross! Beth screamed. Danny let out a loud laugh and slapped Todd gleefully on the back, nearly knocking Todd from the chair. Pay up, bitch, Todd demanded. Give Dirty his money. You lost the bet.
You guys are sick, Regina murmured, making a disgusted face, forcing herself not to look at the soup bowl. Gross, gross, Beth was shrieking. The worms slipped and swarmed through the noodles. You said you dropped worms outside, Regina accused angrily. Todd shrugged, a great big grin on his face. I lied. Danny laughed even harder. He pounded the table gleefully with his fists, making the soup bowl bounce up and down. Hey! Suddenly, Todd's smile faded. He stared out of the lunchroom window at the playground. Look! He hit Danny's shoulder, then pointed out toward the second base, to the bare spot behind the base. What the fuck is going on out there? He cried. What was up? I got a new cocktail.
Chapter 4.
Todd walked over to the window and peered out, pressing his nose against the glass. What is Patrick McKay doing in my worm-digging spot? He demanded angrily. Danny stepped beside Todd. He squinted out into the gray afternoon. Are you sure that's Patrick McKay? The sky darkened as the low clouds gathered. The boy on the playground was half covered by shadow, but Todd recognized him anyway. That snobby, stuck-up rich kid, Patrick McKay.
He sounds like a cool guy to me, Dune.
He was bent over the bare spot of the mud behind second base, working feverishly. What the fuck is he doing out there? Todd repeated. That's my best worm spot. He's digging up worms too, Regina declared from the table. Huh? Todd spun around to find his sister smirking at him. Patrick is digging up worms for the science expo, she told him, unable to hide her joy. He's doing a worm project too. But he can't, Todd sputtered in a high, shrill voice. Whoa, what a copycat, Danny declared. He can't do a worm project. I'm doing a worm project, Todd insisted, turning back to stare at Patrick through the glass. It's a free country, Regina replied smugly. She and Beth laughed and slapped each other high fives. They were enjoying seeing Todd squirm for a change. But he's not into worms, Todd continued, very upset. He doesn't collect worms. He doesn't study worms. He's just copying me. I'm the worm guy. Look at him digging in your spot, Danny murmured, shaking his head bitterly. Patrick's a nice guy, Beth remarked. He doesn't act like a jerk and put worms in other people's soup. He's a jerk, Todd insisted angrily, staring out the window. He's a total fucking jerk. He's a copycat jerk, Danny added. His worm project is going to be better than yours, Regina teased him. Todd's dark eyes burned into his sister's. You know what it is? You know what Patrick's project is? Regina had a smug smile on her lips. She tossed her brown hair back. She tossed back her hair. The hair was brown and she tossed it. Then she made a zipper sign, moving her fingers across her lips. I'll never tell, she said. What is it? Todd demanded. You tell me, you cunt! Regina shook her head. Tell me, Beth! Todd insisted, narrowing his eyes menacingly at Beth. No fucking way! Beth replied, glancing merrily at Regina. Then I'll ask him myself, Todd declared. Come on, Danny! The two boys started running through the lunchroom. They were nearly to the door when Todd ran into their teacher, Miss Grant. Was carrying a lunch tray high over her head, stepping around a group of kids in the aisle. Todd didn't see her. He bumped into her from behind. She uttered a cry of surprise, and her tray flew out of her hands. The tray and the plate clattered loudly onto the floor, and her food, salad and a bowl of spaghetti, dropped around her feet. "What's your hurry, young man?" she snapped at Todd. "I'm sorry," Todd murmured. It was the only reply he could think of. Miss Grant bent to examine her brown shoes, which were now orange, covered with wet clumps of paschetti. "It was an accident," Todd said impatiently, fiddling with his Raiders cap. "Whoop, whoop!" "It sure was," the teacher replied coldly. "Perhaps I should speak to you after school about why we don't run in the lunchroom." "Perhaps," Todd agreed. Then he bolted past her, running out the door faster than he'd ever run. "Cool move, Ace!" Danny exclaimed, running beside him. "It wasn't my fault," Todd said. "She stepped in front of me."
The bell is going to ring, Danny warned, as they made their way out the back door. Later in their high school days, they would be making their way in each other's back doors. Hey, all up top, Frank. Cornholing jokes. Oh, you'd rather lick your paw and go back to sleep? Fuck you. I don't care, Todd replied, breathlessly. I've got to find out what that copycat is doing with worms. Patrick was still bent over the mud behind the second base. He was scooping up worms with a silvery trowel that looked brand new, then dropping them into a metal bait can. He was a slim, good-looking boy with wavy blonde hair and blue eyes. He had started school in September. His family had moved to Ohio from Pasadena. Oh my God, what a fucking bummer. His family had moved him from Ohio, or to Ohio from Pasadena. So what, these kids are like 12, and they're like, you had a lovely time in Pasadena. Now, you're gonna live out the rest of your days in fucking Ohio. Enjoy the nothing. That should be Ohio's landmark. We have the beast. Dune found out that it exists because people like Lucas send him messages, and now he knows. He was always telling everyone how California was so much better, just like Dune's drunk ass. He didn't brag about how rich he was, but he wore designer jeans, and his mother brought him to school every morning in a long white Lincoln. So Todd and the others at William Tecumseh Sherman Middle School figured it out. Who the fuck is William Tecumseh Sherman? I used to bang Sherman when I started this. No, I lived in North Park when I started this podcast. Then I lived in Sherman Heights, and now I live in Mission Valley. The more you know. Patrick was in Regina's class. A few weeks after school started, he'd had a big birthday party and invited everyone in his class, including Regina. She reported that Patrick had a whole carnival with rides and everything in his backyard. Todd pretended he didn't care that he wasn't invited. The sky grew even darker as Danny and Todd stood over Patrick in the playground. The fuck are you doing, Patrick? Todd demanded. Digging? Patrick replied, glancing up at his work. Digging? Oh my God, you're still on dig? Oh my God, why don't you get your news from FARC, asshole? Yeah. What a relevant site. You're digging? Oh, digging for worms. Got it. Sorry. Digging up worms? Todd asked, his hands pressing against the waist of his jeans. Patrick nodded. He started digging again. He pulled up a long, dark brown one that Todd would have loved to own. I'm doing a worm project, Todd told him. I know, Patrick replied, concentrating on his work. Me too. What is it? Danny chimed in. What is your project, Patrick? Patrick didn't reply. He dug up a tiny, pale worm, examined it, and tossed it back. What's your project? Tell us, Todd demanded. You really want to know? Patrick asked, raising his blue eyes to them. The wind ruffled his blonde hair, but the hair immediately fell back into place. Todd felt a raindrop on his shoulder, then one on top of his head. What is your project? Todd repeated. Okay, Patrick said, wiping dirt off his hands. I'll tell you. My project is... Chapter 5! The class bell rang. The sharp clang cut through the raging wind. The rain started to patter loudly against the ground. We've got to go in, Danny urged, tugging at Todd's sleeve. Wait, Todd said, his eyes on Patrick. Tell me now, he insisted. But we'll be late, Danny insisted, tugging at Todd again. And we're getting soaked. Patrick climbed to his feet. I think I've got all the worms I need. He shook wet dirt off the silvery trowel. So what is your worm project? Todd repeated, ignoring the pattering rain and Danny's urgent request to get back inside the school. Patrick grinned at him, revealing about 300 perfect white teeth. I'm teaching them to fly, he said. Huh? I'm putting cardboard wings on them and teaching them to fly. Wait till you see it. It's a riot. Fred's calling. I need to answer the phone because Fred's calling. Heyo, you are on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you are.
I was just calling to say that we need to get Billy and a black friend of ours. I'm thinking Blake to become Corey and Trevor for Halloween.
That is a solid, solid plan. I'm going to stop this recording now because we have already started getting into needing black people to do things.
Yeah.
All right, hold up. Sorry about that.
It's a riot, he burst out laughing. Danny leaned close to Todd. Is he for real? He whispered. Of course not, Todd shot back. Don't be a jerk, Danny. He's goofing us. Hey, you're not funny, Danny told Patrick angrily. You're late, guys. Let's get going, Patrick said, his grin fading. He started toward the school building, but Todd moved quickly to block his path. Tell me the truth, Patrick. What are you planning to do? Patrick started to reply, but a low rumbling sound made him stop. They all heard it, a muffled roar that made the ground shake. The worm can fell out of Patrick's hand. His blue eyes opened wide in surprise and fear. The rumbling gave away a loud, crackling noise. It sounded as if the whole playground were splitting apart. What's happening? Patrick stammered. Run! Todd screamed as the ground trembled and shook. Run for your fucking life! Rum, it's now summer, and we can drink rum every day instead of whiskey and vodka, but also whiskey and vodka.
Chapter 6. Why are you so late? Where the fuck have you been in another earthquake? Regina teased. Ha, ha, Todd said bitterly. Danny and I weren't making it up. It happened again, and Patrick was there too. How come no one else felt it? Regina demanded. I had the radio on after school, and there was nothing about an earthquake on the news. It was nearly 5 o'clock. Todd had found his sister in the garage, up on the aluminum ladder, working hard on her giant robin. Somehow she managed to get clumps of papier-mâché in her hair and down the front of her t-shirt. I don't want to talk about the earthquake, Todd muttered, stepping into the garage. I know I'm right. The rain had ended just before school let out, but the driveway was still puddled with water. His wet sneakers squeaked as he made his way to Regina's ladder. Regina's Ladder was such a good movie at Sundance last year. Where's Beth? He asked. She had to go get her braces tightened, Regina told him, concentrating on smoothing out the papier-mâché. She let out a loud groan. I can't get this beak smooth. Todd kicked dejectedly at an old tire that leaned against the garage wall. Look out! Regina called. A wet clump of papier-mâché landed on Todd's feet with a plop. You missed me, he cried, ducking away. So, where have you been? Regina asked. Miss Grant kept me after school. She gave me a long lecture, giggity giggity. About what? Regina stopped to examine her work. I don't know. Something about running in school, Todd replied. How are you going to get this dumb bird to the science fair? Carry it, Regina answered without hesitating. It's big, but it's really light. I don't suppose you would help Beth and me. I don't suppose, Todd told her, wrapping his hand around the broomstick that formed one bird leg. Hey, get your fucking paws off, Regina cried. Leave it alone. Todd obediently backed away. You're just jealous because Christopher Robin is going to win the computer, Regina said. Dude, I would want to win a computer so bad. When was this book made? I want a computer right now. Seriously, I may need to get a new computer, people. I need a donate button, or you need to start throwing me money, because, you know, Borderlands 2 is coming out. Sure, I'm really excited for Wednesday's release of Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers 2013. Hello, ladies. But, but I'm going to need a new computer soon. This is all full of goosebumps and nonsense.
You're just jealous Oh, yeah. That's where I was. Listen, Regi. You've got to tell me what Patrick McKay is doing for his worm project, Todd pleaded. You've got to. She climbed down the ladder. She saw the big worm in Todd's hand. What's that for? She demanded. Nothing. Todd's cheeks turned pink. You're planning to drop that down my back, aren't you? Regina accused him. No, I'm just taking it for a walk, Todd told her. He laughed. You're a creep, Regina said, shaking her head. Don't you ever get tired of those dumb worms? No, Todd replied. So tell me, what's Patrick's project? You want to hear the truth? Regina asked. Yeah. The truth is, I don't know, his sister confessed. I really don't know what he's doing. Todd stared hard at her for a long moment. You really don't? She crossed her heart. I really don't know. Todd suddenly had an idea. Where does he live? He asked eagerly. The question caught Regina by surprise. Why? Danny and I can go over there tonight, Todd said, and I'll ask him what he's doing. You're going to go to his house? Regina asked. I've got to find out, Todd exclaimed. I've worked so hard on my worm house, Reggie. I don't want Patrick the copycat to do something better. Regina eyed her brother thoughtfully. And what will you do for me if I tell you where he lives? A grin spread over Todd's face. He held up the worm. If you tell me, I won't put this down your back. Ha, ha, Regina replied, rolling her eyes. You're a real pal, Todd. Tell me, he insisted eagerly, grabbing her by the shoulders. Okay, okay, don't have a cow. Patrick lives on Glen Cove, Regina replied. I think the number is 100. It's a huge old mansion behind a tall fence. Thanks, Todd said. Thanks a lot. Then, as Regina bent down to pick up the globs of papier-mâché from the garage floor, he dropped the worm down the back of her t-shirt. Aw, fuck. Now I just hope Todd gets eaten by giant worms. What a fucking asshole move. As a younger sibling, I'm used to that shit, or I guess I was. Now my brother lives far away and I miss him. Maybe I'll call him after this, but, yeah, what a fucking asshole. I have no sympathy for Todd anymore. Am I supposed to now? Fuck Todd. What a bully. He's a jerk.
Chapter 7!
I can't believe we're doing this, Danny complained. My parents said I couldn't come over. As soon as they went grocery shopping, I ducked out. But if they catch me, his voice trailed off. We'll be back home in 15 minutes, Todd said. He shifted gears and pedaled the bike harder. Danny's old bike splashed through a deep puddle at the curb. The rain clouds had rolled away, but the wind still gusted, cool and damp. The sun had set about an hour before. Now a thin sliver of moon hung over the evening sky. Where's the house? On Glen Cove? Danny asked, out of breath. Todd nodded. He shifted gears again. He liked shifting back and forth. It was a new bike, and he still hadn't got it used to so many fucking gears. A car rolled toward them rapidly. The glare of the... Damn it, there's no the. The glare of its white headlights forced them to shield their eyes. Danny's bike rolled up on the curb, and he nearly toppled over. Why'd they have to have their brights on? He griped. Beats me, Todd replied. They turned sharply into Glen Cove. It was a wide street of old houses set back on a broad, sloping lawn. The houses were all set far apart, separated by dark, wooded areas. No streetlights, Danny commented. You'd think rich people could afford streetlights. Maybe they like it dark, Todd replied, thoughtfully. My mom sure likes it dark. Dad's caught her with black eyes so many times. You know, it helps keep people away. It's kind of creepy here, Danny said softly, leaning over his handlebars. Don't be a wimp. Look for 100, Todd said sharply. That's Patrick's address. Wow, check out that house, Danny said, slowing down and pointing. It looks like a castle. I think 100 must be on the next block, Todd called, eagerly pedaling around. What are you going to say to Patrick? Danny asked, breathing hard, struggling to catch up. I'm just going to ask him if we can see his worm project, Todd replied, his eyes searching the darkness for address signs. Maybe I'll act like I want to help him out, you know, give him a few tips on how to take care of worms. Nice guy, Danny teased. He chuckled to himself. That's who he chuckled to, himself. What if Patrick says no? Todd didn't reply. He hadn't thought of that. He squeezed the handbrake. Look! He pointed to an enormous house behind a tall iron fence. That's his house. Danny's brakes squealed as he brought his bike to a stop. He lowered his feet to the wet pavement. Wow! The house rose up over the broad, tree-filled lawn, black against the purple night sky. It was completely dark, not a light on anywhere. No one home, Danny said, whispering. Good, Todd replied. This is even better.
See, I tried to whisper too because, you know, when they say things, I don't know the tone because the tone comes after they say it. So, you know, I don't plan ahead on these things.
So I'm going to make everyone whisper for a second. Maybe if we can look down in the basement window or find a window to Patrick's room and see what he's working on. Maybe.
Danny replied reluctantly.
Todd glanced around. Patrick's house was the only one on the block, and it was surrounded by woods. Both boys climbed off their bikes and started to walk them down the driveway.
I can't believe Patrick would live in such a wreck of a place, Todd said, pulling off his cap and scratching his hair.
I mean, this house is a real dump.
Maybe his parents are weird or something, Danny suggested, as they parked their bikes.
Maybe, Todd replied thoughtfully.
Sometimes rich people get a little weird, Danny said, climbing on the porch and ringing the bell.
How would you know? Todd said, snickering. He pulled his cap back down over his dark hair and rang the doorbell.
No answer.
Let's check out the back, he said, hopping off the porch and grabbing on to Danny's ass.
I fucked up the tone and stuff on that, but I was implying that they're gay homosexuals.
Yeah, you hear that, Frank? It was a gay joke.
Franklin, do you like... Oh, I'm sorry I woke you up, bud.
What for? Danny demanded. Let's just look in the windows, Todd urged, moving along to the side of the house. Let's see if we can see anything at all. As they turned the corner, it grew even darker. The pale silver of moonlight was reflected in one of the upstairs window, the only light.
This is dumb, Danny complained. It's too dark to see anything inside the house. And besides...
He stopped.
Now what's wrong? Todd demanded impatiently.
Didn't you hear it?
I heard it again, Danny said, like a growl. Some kind of animal growl.
Todd didn't hear the growl, but he saw something enormous running toward them.
He saw the evil red eyes of it.
They're glowing and shit, and they're unblinking and they're looking at him.
Damn it, I fucked that tone up. And he knew it was too late to escape.
Quick pet peeve, there's... I fucking hate when people say the word escape, just like espresso for the coffee-related drink. But escape is fucking irritating. There's a song by the great, great musicians, the Insane Clown Posse, where they where they have escape in the chorus. And I'm like, you have a chorus of like 15 people saying that. No one stepped up and said, hey, escape. There's no X. You wrote it out. There's no X. Or you did write it out. Do you see when you typed it, there was a red squiggly line underneath? You need to regard the squiggly lines and realize that's not a real word before you, you know, release an album to tons and tons of people that think Mountain Dew is a solid drink.
Chapter 8.
Rum! Danny screamed.
See, he said run, but I was drinking rum and I had it in my mouth.
God, my humor is just too advanced for you people.
Hi, Scarlet, what are you doing?
Run! Danny screamed, but Todd couldn't move. As the enormous red-eyed monster bounded toward them, Todd pressed his back against the side door. He nearly fell as the door swung in. The creature uttered an ugly, threatening growl. Its huge paws thundered over the ground. Inside! Todd screamed. Danny, get the fuck in the house! His heart pounding as loudly as the monster's paws. Todd scrambled into the dark house. Danny lurched in behind him, uttering low gasps. Todd slammed the door shut as the creature attacked. Its paws struck the window pane in the door, making the entire door rattle.
It's a dog! Todd cried in a choked whisper. A huge, angry dog!
The dog let out another ferocious growl and leaped at the door. Its paws scraped over the window.
A dog? Danny exclaimed shrilly. I thought it was a gorilla!
The two boys pressed their shoulders against the door, holding it shut. They peered out warily at the big creature. The dog had set back on its haunches. It stared in at them, its red eyes glowing. It was panting loudly, its enormous tongue hanging out of its mouth.
Someone should put that guy on a diet!
Danny exclaimed.
We could ride that dog to school,
Todd added. How do we get out of here? Danny asked, turning away from the dog. His eyes searched the dark room.
He'll go away, Todd said. He swallowed hard.
Probably.
This place is a shithole, Danny said, stepping into the room. Todd turned to follow Danny. They were in the kitchen, he saw. Pale moonlight floated in through the window. Even in this dim light, Todd could see that something was terribly wrong. The kitchen counters were bare and covered in dust. There was no appliances, no toaster, no microwave, no refrigerator. There were no dishes or pots or pans in view. There's no fucking things in there. There's no slap chops. There's no vents. Damn it, now I can't think of kitchen appliances. Trudge on, Dune. Trudge on, Dune. Glancing down, Todd saw that the sink was caked with thick dirt. Weird, Danny muttered. The two boys made their way through a short hallway to the dining room. Where's the furniture? Danny asked. Gazing in all directions, the room was empty. Maybe they're redecorating or something? Todd guessed. God, Todd, your mind is always on decorations, interior design. Is there something you need to tell me? This doesn't make sense. Patrick's family is rich, Danny said, shaking his head. You know how neat Patrick is. He gets upset if his shirt comes untucked. I don't fucking get it, Todd replied. Where do you think he has his worm project? The two boys made their way toward the living room. Their sneakers scraped over the dusty, bare floor. Something is weird here, Danny murmured. Something is very fucking weird. They both gasped as they stepped into the living room and saw the figure hunched at the window. Saw the decayed green flesh of his face. Saw the bones of his jaw open in a hideous, toothless grin. Saw his evil, sunken eyes staring across the room at them. Wowzers. Don't drink, kids. Chapter 9. The heavy silence was broken by the shrill screams of the two boys. Go! 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 Todd cried. He shoved Danny towards the door and stumbled along behind him, keeping his hands on Danny's shoulders. Go! 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 Through the bare dining room, across the dust-covered kitchen. Go! Go! Todd grabbed the doorknob, pulling open the door, and they both burst in out of the house. Had the dog left? Yes! Let's move, Todd cried, but Danny needed no encouragement. He was already halfway down the driveway, his chubby legs pumping as hard, his hands stretched out in front of him as if trying to pull himself to safety. Out the gate, onto their bikes, they pedaled furiously, faster, faster, until their legs ached and they could barely breathe, and they never, ever looked back. Who was that hideous, decayed feature in the Patrick's house? And why was the house so fucking dusty, so bare? Todd spent most of the night lying awake in his bed thinking about it. But the mystery wasn't cleared up until the next morning. Yawning sleepily, Todd pulled on the same clothes he had worn the day before. Then he made his way down the hall to go to breakfast. He stopped outside of Regina's bedroom door, and then he heard her laughing. At first, he thought she was talking to herself, but then he realized that Regina was on the phone. So early. He pressed his ear to the door and listened. Isn't it a riot, Beth? Regina was saying. I sent them to the wrong address. Regina laughed again, gleeful laughter. Todd suddenly snapped wide awake. He pressed his ear tighter against the bedroom door. Todd was so desperate, I couldn't resist, Regina was saying. Know where I sent them? There was a short pause. Todd realized he was holding his breath. He let it out silently and took another one, listening hard. I sent them to the old Fosgate Mansion. Fosgate Mansion, Regina told Beth. She laughed. Yeah, right. That old deserted mansion where those kids have that Halloween party? Yeah, you know. They left that dummy with the weird mask in the window. Another pause. Oh, Todd. You got punked, bitch. Todd gritted his teeth as he listened to his sister's triumphant laughter. He could feel every muscle in his body tightening in anger. I don't know, Beth. I haven't talked to him yet, Regina was saying. I heard Todd come in last night. He ran straight to his room and shut the door. He was probably too scared to talk. More laughter. Bawling and unballing his fist, Todd stepped away from his sister's door. He stopped at the stairs, feeling his face grow red hot. He was thinking so hard. So Reggie played a little joke on Danny and me, he thought bitterly. So she gave me the wrong address and sent us to that old mansion.
Good joke. Todd felt so angry he wanted to scream. Now, Regina will be laughing at me about this forever, he realized. She will make fun of me for the rest of my life. Her bedroom door opened and Regina stepped into the hall. She was pulling her brown hair back into a stupid ponytail. She stopped when she saw Todd at the top of the stairs.
So how'd it go to last night? She asked him, grinning.
Fine, he replied casually. He gave her an innocent, wide-eyed stare. Her grin faded.
Did you go to Patrick's house? Did you talk to him about his worm project?
She demanded, staring back at him, studying his face. Todd shook his head.
No, Danny and I decided to skip it. We just hung out at Danny's.
He lied. Her dark eyes seemed to dim. She bit her lower lip. Todd could see how disappointed she was. He turned and made his way back down the stairs, feeling a little better.
You want to play jokes, Reggie? He thought.
Okay, fine. It's my turn. My turn to play a mean joke. Todd smiled. He already thought of a really good one. Chapter 2.
Oh, God, I'm drunk and I need to make food. All right.
Todd hoisted the cardboard carton in both hands. His warm house was packed carefully inside. It was heavier than he thought.
Where shall I put it? He asked Miss Sanger.
Okay.
Struggling to keep his heavy carton from slipping out of his hands.
What?
I can't hear you. The science teacher held a clipboard in one hand. She cupped her other hand around her mouth as a megaphone. It was deafening in the gym as the kids all hurried to set up their science projects in time for the expo. Excited voices
Motherfucker. All right, Dune. Let's get it together.
Excited voices competed with scraping chairs and tables, the rattle of cartons being unpacked and projects of all shapes and sizes being assembled and set up.
What a crowd! Todd exclaimed. I can't hear you! Miss Sanger shouted.
She pointed to a long table against the wall.
I think your project goes here, Todd!
Todd started to say something, but he was interrupted by the crash of shattering glass and a girl's loud scream.
Was that the acid?
Miss Sanger shouted, her eyes going wide with horror.
Was that the acid?
She pushed past Todd and went tearing across the gym, holding her clipboard in front of her like a shield. That's how I would run towards acid nowadays, because you can't get acid nowadays. Kids, don't do drugs. Also, acid is good times. Todd watched a lot of kids gathering around the spot of the accident. Miss Sanger burst into the circle and everyone began talking at once. Around the vast gym, others ignored the excitement and continued feverishly setting up their projects. The bleachers had been pulled down. Some parents and other kids from the school were already seated, waiting to watch the expo and the judging of projects. Groaning, Todd started to make his way through the crowded gym, carrying the carton. He had to stop and chuckle when he caught the glimpse of Regina and Beth. They had their enormous robin set up close to the bleachers. The head was the right size now. They managed to shave it down smoothly. But some of the tail feathers had gotten mashed, and they were working frantically to smooth them out.
What losers, Todd thought, grinning.
There's no way they were going to win the computer. Turning away, he glimpsed Danny's balloon solar system hanging on the back wall. One of the balloons, the one closest to the sun, had already deflated. Pitiful, Todd thought.
What a dick thing to say about his friend. So he makes fun of his friend's project and calls it pitiful and throws worms down his sister's back. No one should hang out with or talk to Todd and his weird worm-playing ass. Fuck Todd.
That's just pitiful. He sighed. Poor Danny. I guess I should have let him help me with my project. Todd lowered the carton onto the table reserved for him.
10 minutes, everyone. 10 minutes,
Miss Sanger was shouting. No problem, Todd thought. He opened the carton and carefully lifted out the worm house. What a beauty, he thought proudly. It looked like a perfect little house. Todd had polished the wood frame until it glowed, and he'd cleaned the glass until it was spotless. He let the worm house down carefully on the table and turned so that the glass side was facing the audience in the bleachers. He gazed into it. He could see the long, brown and purple worms crawling from room to room. He had packed the dirt in carefully. Then he had dropped in more than 20 worms before sealing it all up. It's a real big family, he thought, grinning. Once the worm house was in place, Todd pulled out the sign he had made for it and placed the sign beside it on the table. He stepped back to admire his work. But someone pushed him gently aside. Make room, Todd. It was Miss Sanger, and to Todd's surprise, she was helping Patrick McKay carry a long cardboard carton to the table. Move your project to the side, Todd, the teacher instructed. You have to share the table. Huh? Share? Todd hesitated. Hurry, please, Miss Sanger pleaded. Patrick's box is heavy. I'm sharing the table with Patrick? Todd couldn't hide his unhappiness. Obediently, he slid the worm house to one side of the table. Then he stood behind the table watching Patrick and the teacher unload the long carton. The box was nearly 6 feet long. Is that all one worm? Todd joked. Very funny, Patrick muttered. He was straining hard to lift the project onto the table. This will be the worm table, Miss Sanger said, grabbing the end of the carton and tugging. Patrick pulled too. Todd gasped as Patrick hoisted his project onto the tabletop. Very impressive, Patrick, Miss Sanger commented, straightening her skirt. She hurried off to help someone else. Todd gaped at the project. It covered it. It towered over his. It was nearly 6 feet tall, taller than Patrick. Oh, no! Todd moaned to himself like a little bitch. He turned to Patrick. It isn't. It can't be. He choked on the words. Patrick was busily setting up his sign. He stepped back, checking it out, making sure it was straight. Yes, it is, he said, beaming at Todd. It's a worm skyscraper. Wow! Todd didn't want to show how upset he was, but he couldn't help it. His legs were trembling, his mouth dropped open, and he started to stutter. But...
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere!
I don't believe this, Todd thought miserably. I built a crummy little worm house, and Patrick made a skyscraper. It's not fair. It's not fucking fair. Patrick doesn't even like worms. He stared at the giant wooden glass structure. He could see dozens and dozens of worms inside. They were crawling from floor to floor. There was even a wooden elevator with several worms tucked inside. Todd, are you okay? Patrick asked. Yeah, I'm fine. Obviously, I'm fine, fucker. Do you not see me? I'm clearly fine. Todd replied, trying to force his legs to stop quivering. You look a little weird, Patrick said, staring at Todd with his bright blue eyes.
That's a nice project, Patrick, Todd admitted through clenched teeth. You could win the big prize.
You think so? Patrick replied, as if the thought had never occurred to him. Thanks, Todd. I got the idea from you. About worms, I mean. You stole the idea, you thief, Todd thought angrily. I have one more wish for you, Patrick. Go eat worms!
Like the title again. It's just good stuff. Hi, Franklin.
Wow, what was that? Danny's voice broke into Todd's ugly thoughts. He was staring at in amazement at Patrick's project. It's a worm skyscraper, Patrick told him, beaming with pride. Danny admired it for a while. Then he turned to Todd. Why didn't you think of that? He whispered. Todd gave Danny a hard shove. Go blow up a balloon, he muttered. Danny spun around angrily. Don't shove me. Miss Sanger's voice over the loudspeaker rose over. Places by your projects, everyone. The expo is starting. The judges will begin their rounds. Danny hurried back to his balloon solar system against the wall. Todd watched him make his way past a display of rocks. Danny was swinging his arms as he walked, and he nearly knocked over all the rocks. Oh no, they're minerals, god damn it.
Then Todd stepped behind the table. He brushed a speck of dust off the roof of his warm house. I should have tossed it in the trash, he thought miserably. He glanced at Patrick, who stood beside him, grinning from ear to ear, his hands resting on the sides of his magnificent skyscraper. The copycat is going to win, Todd thought sadly. He sighed. Now the only thing that would cheer him up a little, one thing, and... What the fuck? He sighed. Only one thing would cheer him up a little. One thing. And gazing across the gym, Todd saw that it was time for it to happen. The three judges, all three teachers from another school, were stepping up to check out Christopher Robin. As they bent low to examine the papier-mâché bird feet, Todd made his way quickly over to his sister's project. He wanted a good view. One judge, a plump young woman in a bright yellow vest, examined the tail feathers. Another judge, a man with a shiny bald head, was questioning Regina and Beth. The third judge had her back to Todd. She was running her hand over the bird's swell orange breast. Reggie and Beth looked really nervous. Todd thought, edging past a display on how trash gets recycled. Well, they should be nervous. What a dumb fucking project. Todd stopped a few feet in front of the bleachers. There was a real big audience for the expo, he noticed. The bleachers were at least two-thirds filled, mostly parents and younger brothers and sisters of the contestants. The bald judge kept making notes on a small pad as he questioned Regina and Beth. The other two judges were staring up at the giant robin's beak. Todd edged closer. What's this string? The judge in the yellow vest asked Beth. Huh? String? Beth reacted with surprise. She and Regina raised their eyes to the yellow beak. What string? Regina demanded. Too late! The judge in the yellow vest pulled the string. The beak lowered, revealing a surprise inside. Oh, yuck! Disgusted groans rose from the audience, and Regina and Beth started to scream. All right. I ate some Target brand raisin bran. Got another drink. Let's power through this, Dune. Let's read the fuck out of this Goosebumps. Let's finish this up, and then we'll go watch some Aqua Teen and go to sleep. What? After we watch Walk Franklin, because, you know, pooping's important. What? Chapter 11. Fat worms wriggled out of the inside of the bird's beak. Some of them wriggled out and rained down on the judges. A huge purple worm plopped onto the bald judge's head. The angry judge's red face darkened until it nearly matched the purple worm. Early that morning, Todd had packed about 30 worms in there. He was glad to see that most of them had stayed in the beak. People in the bleachers were groaning and moaning. That's sick! Someone yelled. Gross! That's so gross! A little boy kept repeating. Let's just check our tally again. So, first, the sister gives advice that we now know was a lie, but at the time, he fully believed it and went along with it, right? And then to reward her, he stuck a worm down her fucking shirt, which is disgusting. And then he goes to the science fair, and his buddy Danny... You know, he's not smart, obviously, but he worked his ass off. He made a solar system out of balloons on a sheet. That's pretty cool. You know, it's a big project. I'm sure it was a great visualization of, you know, I guess, fucking whatever. Anyway, and then the sister has been clearly working her ass off for days with her friend on this project of making a 6 foot tall fucking bird. And he ruins everything by putting the worms in there like... Now I just want Todd to get hit by a fucking bus. Like, what a dick. Anything that happens to him now in this book is just, fuck it. Good. The judges were demanding to know if Regina and Beth had stuffed the worms up there as a joke. Miss Sanger was glaring angrily at them. The two girls were sputtering their apologies. It was a thrilling moment, Todd thought. A thrilling moment! About 10 or 15 worms were wriggling across the gym floor. Todd started to edge back to his table. There he is! My brother! He heard Regina shout. He glanced up to see her pointing furiously at him. Todd did it! It had to be Todd! He gave an innocent shrug. I thought Christopher Robin looked hungry, so I fed him, he called. Then he hurried back to his worm house. A big grin on his handsome face, Patrick slapped Todd a high five. Cool move, Ace!
Todd grudgingly accepted the congratulations. He didn't want to be friends with Patrick. He wanted Patrick to go eat worms.
Oh, man. Did you guys notice that that's the title of the book? Oh, you did? Okay.
He glanced back to Danny. Danny was frantically blowing up a balloon. The rings had fallen off Saturn, and someone had accidentally popped Pluto. Don't worry. Science already popped Pluto. You don't have to worry about that one, Danny. Todd smiled. He felt pretty good. His little joke had worked perfectly. Revenge was sweet. He had paid Regina back for sending him to that creepy old house, but his smile faded as he glanced at Patrick's skyscraper and remembered that he was going to miss out on the grand prize. It took the school janitor a few minutes to round up all the worms. The crowd in the bleachers cheered him on as he scooped up the wiggling worms by one and dropped them into an empty coffee can. After that, the expo continued calmly and quietly. The judges moved from project to project, asking nothing, making notes. Todd took a deep breath when they approached his table. Don't get excited. You don't want a boner now. That'd be very embarrassing. Even tucking it in your waistband wouldn't work at this point, Todd, he warned himself. The worm house looks really puny next to the worm skyscraper. He had a sudden urge to bump the table, to shake it real hard. Maybe the skyscraper would topple over and the house would be left standing. I could pretend it's just an accident, Todd thought. Evil thoughts. But he didn't do it. The three judges spent about 10 seconds looking at Todd's project. They didn't ask Todd a single fucking question. Then they gazed at Patrick's skyscraper for at least 5 minutes. How'd you get all those worms in there? The bald judge asked. I love the elevator. How many worms are in there total? Can worms survive in a real skyscraper? What kind of fucking retarded teachers are these? And what does this project prove about gravity? Yak, 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 blah, blah, blah. Todd thought bitterly and anti-Semitically. He watched the judges coo and carry on over Patrick's project. He wanted to grab all three of them and say, he's a copycat! I'm the real worm guy! I'm the one who really likes worms! But he just stood there grinding his teeth, tapping his fingers tensely on the tabletop. He knew hitting the pizzo before going here was not a good idea, but alas, he tapped, 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 and grinded away. Still scribbling notes about Patrick's project, the judges moved on to the next project. Liquids and gases. Patrick turned to Todd and forced him into a slapping another high five. You can come over and see my new computer anytime, Patrick whispered confidently. Todd forced a weak laugh. He turned away from Patrick and found his sister glaring at him furiously from the other side of the table. How could you, Todd? She demanded, spitting out the words, her hands pressed tightly at her waist. How could you do that to Beth and me? Easy, he replied, unable to keep a grin off his face. You ruined our project, Regina cried. I know, Todd said, still grinning. You deserved it. Regina started to sputter. The loudspeaker above their heads crackled on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner, Miss Sanger declared. The huge gym grew silent. No one moved. The judges have a winner. The judges have a winner, Miss Sanger repeated, her voice booming off the tile walls. The grand prize winner of this year's Science Expo is...
Chapter 12.
The winner is, Miss Sanger announced, Danny Fletcher and his balloon solar system.
The audience in the bleachers was quiet for a moment, but then erupted in cheers and applause. Todd's classmates on the floor applauded too. Todd turned and caught the startled expression on Danny's face. Several kids rushed forward to congratulate Danny. The books bobbed behind Danny as he grinned and took a funny bow. The gym erupted as everyone began to talk at once. The spectators made their way down from the bleachers and began wandering through the displays. I don't fucking believe this, Todd thought, glancing at Patrick. He saw that Patrick felt the same way. Danny flashed Todd a thumbs up. Todd returned it, shaking his head. He felt a hard shove on his shoulders. Hey, he cried out angrily and spun around. Are you still there? Regina, it's funny every time, glared at him angrily. That's for ruining our fucking project, she shouted. She shoved him again.
You apologize, she demanded furiously. He laughed. No way. She growled at him and raised her fist. Go eat worms, she screamed. Did anyone else notice that's the title of the book? Because I noticed that when they kept repeating it. Say cheese and die. I don't think they did it as much in that one. I should just say your name, Goosebumps books. The Cuckoo Clock of Doom. We'll get to that one soon, don't worry. Still laughing, he pulled off the wooden back of his worm house and lifted up a long brown worm. He dangled it in front of his sister's face. Here, have some dessert. With a furious cry, Regina completely lost her shit. She leaped at Todd, shoving him over backwards. He cried out as he sprawled back and hit the table hard. Several kids started screams as the enormous worm skyscraper tilted. No! Patrick screamed. He reached out both hands to stop it and missed. The heavy wood and glass structure toppled on the next table with a deafening crash of shattered glass. No! A girl screamed. That's liquids and gas. No, look out. It's liquids and gases. Dirt poured out of the broken skyscraper. Several worms came wiggling out of the table. As Todd pulled himself to his feet, wild screams filled the gym. Liquids and gases. What's that smoke? Did they break a window? Liquids and gases. Thick white smoke poured up from the broken glass bottle under the fallen skyscraper. Everyone out! Everyone out! It's gonna blow up!
Chapter 13.
No one was hurt in the explosion. Some strange gases escaped, and it smelled pretty weird in the gym for a while. A lot of worms went flying across the room, and there was a lot of broken glass to be cleaned up. But it was a minor explosion. Todd told his parents later, "Really, no big deal," he said. "I'm sure everyone will forget all about it in 5 or 10 years." A few days later, carrying a small white carton in both hands, Todd made his way down the basement stairs. He heard the steady plonk, plonk of ping-pong balls against paddles. Regina and Beth glanced up from their game as he entered the room. "Chinese?" Beth asked like a racist, spotting the little box. "No, worms," Todd replied, crossing the room to his worm tank. "Are you still into worms?" Beth demanded, twirling her ping-pong paddle. "Even after what happened to you at the science expo?" "It all got cleared up," Todd snapped. "It was no big deal." "Ha!" Regina said scornfully. Todd gazed at his sister in surprise. "Hey, are you talking to me again?" Regina was so furious she hadn't said a word to him since the big disaster. "No, I meant not talking to you," Regina replied with a sneer. "I will never talk to you again."
"Give me a break," Todd muttered.
He opened the carton and poured the new worms in the big glass aquarium where he stored his collection. Plonk, plonk, plonk. The girls returned to their game. "You know, what happened at the science expo is no tragedy," Todd called to them. "Some people thought it was kind of funny," he snickered. "Some people are kind of sick," Beth muttered. Regina slammed the ball hard. It sailed into the net. "You ruined everything, goddammit," she accused Todd angrily. "You ruined the whole fucking expo." "And you ruined our project," Beth added, reaching for the ball. "You made us look like total cunts." "So?" Todd replied, laughing. The girls didn't laugh. "I only did it because you sent Danny and me to that creepy old house," Todd told them. He used a small trowel to soften the dirt in the worm tank. "Well, you wouldn't have won anyway," Regina said, sneering. "Patrick's skyscraper made your puny house look like a baby's project." "You're jealous of Patrick, aren't you, Todd?" Beth accused. "Jealous of that copy cunt?" Todd cried. "He doesn't know one end of a worm from the other." The girls started their game again. Beth took a wild swing and sent the ball sailing across the room. Todd caught it with his free hand. "Come here," he said. "I'll show you something cool, jabroni." "No way," Regina replied nastily. "Just toss the ball back," Beth said, holding up her hand to catch it. "Come on, this is really cool," Todd insisted, grinning. He pulled a long worm out of the tank and held it up in the air. It wiggled and squirmed, trying to get free. Regina and Beth didn't move away from the table, but he saw they were watching him. Todd set the long worm down on the table and quickly picked up a pocket knife. "You watching?" With one quick motion, he sliced the worm in half. "Yuck!" Beth cried, making a disgusted face. "You're sick," Regina declared. "You're really sick, Todd." "Watch," Todd instructed. All three of them stared at the tabletop as the two worm halves wiggled off the table in different directions. "See," Todd cried. "Now there are two of them. Sick. Really sick," his sister muttered. "That's really gross, Todd." Beth agreed, shaking her head. "But wouldn't it be cool if people could do that?" Todd exclaimed. "You know, your bottom half goes to school, and your top half stays home and watches TV." "Hey, look at that," Regina cried suddenly. She pointed to the glass worm tank. "Huh? What?" Todd demanded, lowering his eyes to the worms. "Those worms, they were watching you," Regina exclaimed. "See? They're sort of staring at you." "Get serious," Todd muttered. But he saw that Regina was right. Three of the worms had their heads raised out of the dirt and seemed to be staring at him. "You have a weird imagination," Todd insisted. "No, they were watching," Regina insisted excitedly. "I saw them watching you when you cut that worm in two." "Worms can't see," Todd told them. "They weren't watching me. That's stupid. But they were," Regina cried. "The worms are angry," Beth added, glancing at Regina. "The worms don't like to see their friends cut in half." "Stop," Todd pleaded. "Just give me a break, okay?" "The worms are going to get revenge, Todd," Regina said. "They saw what you did. Now they're planning their revenge." Todd let out a scornful laugh. "You must think I'm as stupid as you are," he declared. "There's no way I'm going to fall for that. No way I'm going to believe such a stupid idea." Giggling to each other, Regina and Beth returned to their ping-pong game. Todd dropped the two worm halves into the tank. To his surprise, four more worms had poked up from the soft dirt. They were staring straight up at him. Todd stared down at them, thinking about what Regina and Beth had said. "What a stupid idea," he thought. "Those worms weren't watching me. Or were they?" And that concludes part one of Go Eat Worms by Dune on Dune Reads Goosebumps. When I said by Dune, I meant that it was read by Dune, but it was written by the great R.L. Stein. But R.L. Stein doesn't read Goosebumps, and he definitely doesn't proofread Goosebumps. Heyo! Am I right, Franklin? Good old Franklin. So, yeah, I'll try to keep these coming, and I just sold a domain. I was completely broke, like novelty fucking single digit money broke, but I'm selling a domain right now, so I'm like, I'm gonna have a small amount of money for a minimal investment, and honestly think that I'm going to finally drop the small amount of money to get a proper full Goosebumps collection of all 62 original ones. Put them right over the fireplace, right on the mantle. Anyway, until I get my shit together and have some money, you people can stay spooky, bitches. I'm the de facto leader of a movement, screaming hack the planet back in 99. Activism in its prime, global hell had the dot mill rooted. Alphabet soup in they troops in the suits, kid, kicking down doors and seizing my equipment. Blocking on my shipment, sitting on they hit list. Old day radical, emphatic beat addict in the stab hit. I envelope the game, call me Rabbit. Hop to hop, I run the internet equivocally, bitch, I be hit him with the bite style symmetry. Digi-G, digital gangsta reppin' till I'm dead. Steady grip Apache logs when I'm looking for the feds. Fast forward, now the internet anonymous and captains of the lows vote, raise the mass prominent. Dominant hat, and I sec on that new-new, dropping tables in my sequel like it was some poo-poo. Pound any sec, pounding through your speakers. Pound any sec, pounded to the bleachers. Pound any sec, if you're sitting below deck in the lows, vote salute, bitch, and show some respect. Pound any sec, pounding through your speakers. Pound any sec,
pounded to the bleachers.
Pound any six.
If you're sitting below deck in the low school salute, bitch, and show some respect. Low sec, bitch, they fold your hack Sony. Got the MD5, we rock your macaroni. Cook, coke, crack, nim more like a noodle. While HB Gary stay toast like a strudel. Root shell on your bootstrap, now who's that? Buy the M join and drop your whole C-class. Yeah, C-class, it is evident we flousing. Iron cannon in the proc list, deep dousing. Lean back, bitch, we be sending an injection. Magic quotes off, join table intersection. Put it up on base, then it won't get erased. Then 20 million hits till you're down like some cavemen. Yeah, CNN, you want the interview? Send a print message to the nickname Sabu. On IRC, man, we convening. It's a 99 throwback back shit. Now I'm screaming.
Pound any sick.
Pounding through your speakers.
Pound any sick.
Pound it to the bleachers.
Pound any sec.
If you're sitting below deck in the low spot, salute, bitch, and show some respect.
Pound any sec.
Pound it through your speakers.
Pound any sec.
Pound it to the bleachers.
Pound any sec.
If you're sitting below deck in the low spot, salute, bitch, and show some respect.